The production of Fidelio in Salzburg in 1935 with Lotto Lehmann and Maestro Toscanini is still recalled as among the greatest performances ever given by both these great artists. It's my privilege to introduce her now, speaking to you from California in a tribute to Maestro Lotto Lehmann.
It is rather difficult to talk about Maestro Toscanini. Can one describe the beauty of a sunset, or more appropriately, the beauty of a thunderstorm? I hear him say, as he said once to me when I expressed my adoration for him in glowing terms, "Don't exaggerate. Don't you see that I am nobody to be glorified? I am just a good conductor, that's all." He was quite annoyed with me, as he often was with photographers and people who asked him for an autograph. He hated publicity, publicity which followed him wherever he went. I met him first in New York when he conducted his first commercial broadcast for General Motors. He had heard me shortly before this in Vienna in the premiere of Arabella by Richard Strauss. As a result of this performance, I was selected for his broadcast. I shall never forget the day I went to his hotel in New York for a rehearsal. I had to sing the great aria of Fidelio and the entrance aria of Elisabeth von Tannhäuser. At this time, I was already a well-known singer, at home throughout the world, having sung in all the important opera houses. So one may not believe that I could be afraid of Toscanini. But where is the singer who was not afraid of him? He did not like this at all. It made him very impatient, and he expressed his displeasure in no uncertain terms. He just could not understand the strange magic of his overpowering personality. I remember how I felt as I looked into those burning eyes, hearing his command, "Sing." The rehearsal was long and exhausting. Exhausting because of the tremendous inattention with which I tried to do justice to all his commands. I really don't know how the concert went. I just wasn't on earth at all. The maestro was satisfied with my singing, and no crown jewel could have given me more delight than his smile. Maestro Toscanini's friendship and his appreciation for me as an artist have been the climax of my career. How wonderful were the rehearsals with him in Salzburg, where he conducted Fidelio a year after our concert. For us, every rehearsal was a performance. There was no possibility of ever letting down, of taking it easy. Everyone had to give to his fullest capacity. And even if he had not demanded it, we would have done it, because he himself always gave his whole heart and his whole soul. Needless to say that in the performance, the audience went wild. After the third Leonore Ouverture, the whole house seemed to be in a frenzy, and we singers applauded like mad behind the stage. The Vienna Orchestra simply worshipped him, but they often had to endure fits of his terrible Italian temper, which have become legendary. I once heard one orchestra member say to another, "One really doesn't know how one should feel about this demon. Should one hate him or should one kneel down?" This remark was very typical. It was the way we all felt about him, but I believe nobody ever hated him in reality. All of us wanted to kneel down. I was privileged to sing with him in concerts in Vienna. I sang for the first time Isolde's Liebestod. I was never able to sing the whole role because it was too dramatic for my more lyrical voice. To sing the aria in a concert is rather nerve-wracking. One has to sit through the whole long prelude, and then the beginning of the aria is difficult because the orchestra doesn't give any musical cue. One has to start, so to speak, out of nowhere. I told the maestro that I was terribly nervous, and that I would certainly die of shock if, out of nervousness, I should start with the wrong note. He promised to give me the tone, and I mustn't worry. I really didn't, but he did. Through half the prelude, he hummed my tone. And since his voice was notoriously hoarse and rough, I could scarcely tell what tone it was. But I started right, and everything was safe. I shall remember forever the feeling of intoxication and utter abandon as I sang the last words of Isolde. Ertrinken, versinken, unbewusst, höchste Lust. The music was like an overpowering surf in which I sank lost in the splendor of sound. And so I feel in remembering my association with Toscanini. The overwhelming strength of his magical personality is akin to the power of the ocean, devastating in its fury, inspiring in its grandeur. We have his recordings, that is true. In his perfection, he is with us, and his gentle soul speaks to us through music. But that we shall never again be able to feel his nearness, to see him conducting, to see his beautiful and noble face, is a loss which will not diminish with the passing of time.
Thank you, Lotta Lehmann. Our guest intermission speaker has been the world-renowned soprano, Lotta Lehmann. And now, sitting across from me here in NBC Studio 5B, is the noted American soprano, Eleanor Stieber, whom we've heard as Marcellina in Maestro's presentation of Fidelio. Miss Stieber, of course, has won world renown as an operatic and concert singer. And it's indeed a pleasure for me to have her here with us on this particular broadcast. Eleanor, warm thanks to you for coming. I'm thrilled that you're here during this presentation of excerpts from Fidelio.
Thank you very much, Ben. This is a thrill for me, too. You know that.
When did you first see Maestro?
I only saw Maestro Toscanini as a shadow in the back of Carnegie Hall at the first time, other than hearing him on the broadcasts. But I was asked to come to audition for Maestro Toscanini. I think it was probably in the spring of the year that I had won the Metropolitan Auditions of the Year, 1941.
41.
Bruno Zerato, who was the manager then of the New York Philharmonic, had asked my management if I would sing for the maestro, that he was interested in having somebody to do the Ninth Symphony. And I said, all right, fine, now what can I sing for him? And then Zerato said, well, he'd like to hear you sing something from the Ninth Symphony. And I said, oh, well, Mr. Zerato, that's not much to sing for maestro, but perhaps I could then, maybe I could do the soprano solo from the Missa Solemnis of Beethoven, which I'd done. Anyway, Zerato came and says, well, if you want to, you can sing the thing from the Missa Solemnis. So I sang the solo part from the Missa Solemnis. And then he said, and maestro would like to hear you do the Ninth Symphony. So I waited with bated breath to find out what had happened. And I didn't hear, and I didn't hear. And finally, I went to my management, and they got in touch with Mr. Zerato and said, well, maestro was quite disturbed with you, Miss Stieber, because you insisted upon doing something other than what he wanted to hear you do.
Boston High, prize-winning audition girl, comes down to New York, meets Maestro.